Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you again in that wonderful name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before I begin to share what the Lord has placed on my heart with you today, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privileges and all the many blessings and all the bountiful benefits that we have experienced, that we have as your people. David said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Lord, we thank you that in just those brief few words, David was saying, in order to express our thanksgiving, we should continually call to you. We should be continually mindful of our relationship with you, that we should take and drink fully of the cup of salvation you have provided for us. Lord, that cup of redemption, that atoning work that Jesus accomplished at Calvary, Lord, it covers every aspect of our lives, the whole man, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And so, Father, we thank you as we join our hearts in prayer and as we dedicate and consecrate these next few moments to you, that Lord, you're going to change us, you're going to minister to us, and Father, you'll give us deeper understanding of your ways and of the treasures that are hid in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, not only upon me as I deliver the word, but Lord, upon every listener, that our very ears would be unstopped to hear. So often, Lord, you spoke negatively and in rebuke to those that should have been open to receive your words. You said they are, through your prophets, they're dull of hearing. And Father, we're asking that you would anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might see, that you would touch our ears, Father, that we would hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so, Father, help us to be that obedient bride. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Lord, your invitation, your purposes, your plans have never changed for man. So, Father, thank you for your goodness, and Lord, we consecrate this time to you in the name of Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for ministering to our needs as we put your aims, your heart's desires, first and foremost in our desires and in our attention and in our focus. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Well, what I would like to share is, I've entitled The Covenant of Relationship, or How is God Building His Church Today? And I'm going to share with you a sentence that is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, a sentence that Jesus spoke. That's Mark 1 and 15. And what Jesus declared through this statement is basically what he shared with his disciples as he was ready to ascend to heaven, going to sit at the right hand of the Father, what is called the Great Commission. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel of the good news," what Jesus came to do. As he declared, he stood up in the synagogue that day, on the Sabbath day, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was speaking the very words of the prophet Isaiah, who declared, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news to the poor, the opening of the prison that to them that are bound, to release the captives." This is God's work. This is his heart, and it has never changed. Now, God is an all-powerful, all-knowing God. There are words to describe his attributes, like the omniscience of God. That's his wisdom. And God has determined for himself to have a people that will love him, that will walk with him, that will be his family. That was ever God's heart and design. That's why he created man in the beginning in his own image and likeness. How can you share together if there's not some measure of similarities, of some kind of resemblances, if there's not some way to communicate with one another? And so God's ways are of infinite variety. We cannot limit God. You know, one of the accusations in the scriptures against the people of Israel, it says they tempted or tested and limited the Holy One of Israel in the wilderness. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, he repeatedly showed his signs and wonders, not only in the land of Egypt, but throughout the wilderness wanderings, gave them quail from heaven, gave them angels' food, manna. He opened waters out of a rock to quench their thirst. And so we cannot limit God, but it's important we understand his ways. That was Moses' desire. And so God, how does God build? How is he working? How is he promoting his plans, his desires for this kind of fellowship he's always desired with man? Well, first of all, he deals with individuals, each one of us. And that's a sovereign moving of the Holy Spirit. That's why we can't judge one another. We are all on a journey. We're all in different places. But what should bind us together is agape love, the same kind of love that God has for each one of us, and understanding that every person is unique, not only in talents and giftings, in personality, but in the way God chooses to deal with that individual. And he's going to deal the ways in which are most effective. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. What did Jesus say? The time is fulfilled. God's kingdom is here right now. Repent. Turn away from your wicked ways and believe what I have come to do. Believe what I have come to declare. And that is indeed what the disciples were doing. They were simply writing down in the pages of our Holy Bible, which we've had preserved these many centuries, and speaking forth God's will and his plan for man. So he deals with us as individuals, but then also he deals collectively and corporately, if you will. We call them the moves of God, right? The great awakening in this a country that we've had several great awakenings. And Romans 11:33 says, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I'd like to share with you 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and I want to read verse 5, where Paul says to the Corinthian church, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. God is going to make all things right. He's going to make clear to us the things we don't understand. That's why statements, when we express our opinions, they may or may not be correct, or they may be partially correct, because we don't understand and we don't possess the fullness of truth. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of truth. And this is the lesson that we need to learn, the lesson of tolerance, that we should judge nothing before the time. You know, as human beings, we want formulas. We want steps on how to achieve the things we desire. Now, in some ways, that's not bad. If there's a certain way, for example, I'll never forget, years ago, Brother Glass and I, we bought a barbecue, and it took two days. He had to spread all over the living room trying to assemble this thing, and it's really helpful to follow the instructions. When we went back, I forget what the reason was, we found out we got it from Sears, and we found out even the guys that put things together had a terrible time in assembling it. So there certainly is virtue in following certain ways of doing things, but when it comes to the things of God, we can't rely on formulas. What God did 50 years ago, what he did 100 years ago, it is true, it is real, and it is valid, but we can't replicate exactly what God's people did at that time and expect the same results. There are certain principles, spiritual principles, that are always operative, that are always accurate, that always depend on the veracity of God's word and his character and his nature. But, beloved, we have to depend on God. That's why there's not any set way how to build a church. I remember back in the 80s, you know, how to build your church. There were all kinds of conferences and conventions on how to reach out to the lost, and there were various ways on how God was going to increase the number of people who attended your congregation. But God wants us to depend on him. So what are the answers? How is God building his church? Well, I would like to share with you that God's kingdom is advanced through covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. And my time is getting close to the end, so we're going to get into this more fully on tomorrow's broadcast. But I've been sharing about covenant, and covenant is something that is very important to God. It's a solemn, binding agreement between two parties. And as I was preparing this morning to begin to share this message, I began to think of, wow, you know what? Covenant depends on the Spirit of truth. In other words, we can't enter into a valid relationship or agreement or covenant with anyone, including the Lord, unless we are sincere and hold the truth in our hearts. We never have to question God. He is always true, but that is the source of so many issues in our personal lives, because we say we're in covenant with God, but our actions lie. We belie what we have said with our mouths. You know, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And even in our dealings with man, people have agreements. That's why there's so much litigation today, because people don't keep their word. Well, I'm going to start preaching if I don't stop. So God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me today. The announcer is going to give our contact information. Won't you write? It is such a blessing to hear from new members of our radio family who have listened for a while and never taken the time to write. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you, don't ignore him. He's got a reason for doing it. I love you. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.